Thanks for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7 here on WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. On the phone with me is an American photojournalist who's received numerous awards, including the MacArthur Genius Grant and the Pulitzer Prize in International Reporting. Her work appears regularly in the New York Times and National Geographic and Time magazine. And she's covered conflicts around the world and tells the tales that she has garnered in her experiences in her new memoir, It's What I Do, A Photographer's Life of Love and War. Lindsay Addario, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you for having me.
I'll begin by asking, so many times I read in the book where you mentioned you're taking these photographs in order to tell a story, but I'm wondering why you have decided to use words to tell your story at this particular point in your life and career.
That's interesting. I've never actually done a photo book, a book of just my images, though I've done collections. So initially I wanted to actually do a photo book, and I was held captive in Libya in 2011 for about a week. And when I was released, I wanted to take a little time off. And in that time, I thought about doing a photo book. And so I went to Aperture, a publication that does many coffee table books and quality books for photographers. And I was having a meeting with them about a month after I had been released from captivity. And in that meeting, I found out that two of my friends had been killed in Libya, Chris Hondros and Tim Hetherington, both photojournalists that I had known over the years. And I had a sort of breakdown. I had this moment of reckoning where I thought, you know, maybe I don't want to do a photo book right now, and I really want to write. I want to process everything that not only I have been through, but many of my colleagues have been experiencing in the last decade of covering war. And so I, at that time, was approached by a literary agent who encouraged me to write a book. And I did it. That was sort of how it came about.
You went from upbringing in Connecticut to really becoming a wanderer, traveling the world to very exotic places. Where did that wanderlust come from, Lindsay?
I don't know where it came from. I grew up in Westport, Connecticut, and if someone had told me when I was in high school that I would end up traveling the world, I probably would have believed that I would be traveling the world. I don't think I would have believed that I'd be covering war. I was always curious about life overseas and other cultures, but I never really thought I would go and photograph war. So it was an interesting, it sort of happened by chance. I was curious about places and I would go, and I was never really hindered by the possibility that I might fail or might not be successful, because I always felt like I could learn something wherever I went.
And you went to Afghanistan before 9/11. What drew you to Afghanistan? You talk a lot about the color and the light in your book, Lindsay, and I wondered if it was that exotic location that you were drawn to as a photographer, or what was the motivation?
Well, the motivation for Afghanistan is I was living in the late 90s. I was living and working in New York City for the Associated Press as a freelancer. And in 2000, a family friend invited me to come along to India on a trip that he was organizing for students. And I went. And before I went to India, I sent a bunch of emails to my editors and to editors at newspapers around the country and saying, do you need a freelancer in India? Because I was open to the possibility of actually staying there and trying to be based there. Eventually, I did. And when I was living there, I had a roommate at the time who said, hey, you're a woman, and Afghanistan is basically right next door, and it's under the Taliban, and there are so many incredible stories about how women are living under the Taliban, and not many female journalists to access them. And you should go and do that. And in fact, Afghanistan was a place, for as oppressive as it was under the Taliban, women had access to women, because the society was segregated in terms of gender. And so I went, and photography was illegal, according to the Taliban. It was illegal to photograph any living being. And so I would put my cameras in my bag and sneak around to people's homes. But once I got into people's homes, I was allowed to photograph, because the Taliban couldn't go into places where there were women who were not relatives.
It's a fascinating story. It's called It's What I Do, A Photographer's Life of Love and War. A memoir by Lindsay Addario. She is joining us from her home here on the Book Club at 91.7 this morning. And you can learn more about Lindsay and her work at WVXU.org. And you tell some hair-raising tales, Lindsay, where you go into these very volatile situations and environments. And I wonder what kept you coming back. Was it that adrenaline rush of being at the front line? Because really, as I was reading the book, I realized that you were really in basically every major theater of war here in the last decade or so. And it's surprising at times with some of your experiences that you'd want to go back.
It is not the adrenaline rush. That I can guarantee you. I think when someone like myself starts doing this work and we are bearing witness to what becomes history and we are creating a document of what's going on in front of us, whether it's the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, we're allowing policymakers to have a firsthand view of what's going on, it's almost impossible. It becomes impossible to not go because we realize how important the work is, and we realize that we really, Americans and people around the world rely on journalists to be there and to provide us with that information. And so, you know, I started having the tools to do that. And in the beginning, of course, I was very green. I had no idea what I was doing in the early days in Afghanistan and Iraq. But I eventually learned and I understood how to maneuver in these places and how to successfully tell a story. And once I had those tools, I really felt like I had to be there. It was a responsibility and a calling to be there.
Well, you mentioned many times, and I was really struck and impressed how you bring this artistic medium to share people's stories. And you say many times that you want to share the consequences of these conflicts and what's happening. And too often, I think people don't give photographers quite that much credit. But really, that is, in sharing stories about your friends and fellow correspondents and all these arenas of war, you talk about that dedication to making sure you want to tell the story, and that's something that really comes through in your book. It's What I Do, that there is that higher purpose, and I'm impressed and want to say congratulations and thank you for your work in sharing those stories.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, it is important to realize that people do look at a photograph, and they often don't look at the name below the photo. But there are so many photographers like myself who have dedicated their life to this story, to this profession and career, and they've brought us the most incredible tales of what it's like in these places, in remote places, and we would never have an idea without them. And so it is important to recognize the power not only of the image and the power of photography, but the power of photojournalism to tell those stories.
Was it a struggle to, you know, you do make a point that as a woman photojournalist, you are kind of joining the boys' club and in all these areas near the front lines where there's conflict, and so often as a woman you're discriminated against. But what do you think the key was for you in overcoming that that boys' club, if you may?
Well, I think it was just a matter of time and really just being there and proving myself able to work in the same situations that my male colleagues did. And, you know, in the beginning, it was almost an asset that no one took me seriously because I was able to go and move around and do these stories and no one really paid attention to me. And now, you know, now I've been around a long time. I'm 41. For 15 years, I've been working in conflict zones, and we all know each other. I mean, it's a really tight community of people who cover war and who go to these places because we all have seen each other in Iraq and Afghanistan and Darfur and over the years. And so it is traditionally a boys' club, but it's also a place that, you know, it's evolved over the years. And so there are a lot of familiar faces.
I'm speaking with Lindsay Addario. She's the author of the memoir, It's What I Do, A Photographer's Life of Love and War. More about Lindsay and her work at WVXU.org. And you mentioned some of your colleagues there, and I want to, of course, being a national public radio station here at WVXU, I want to ask about Ivan Watson, who you mentioned more than once. And what kind of tales can you tell about Ivan Watson? Well, beyond the one where he was trying to discourage your romance with your future husband there by standing on a street corner and yelling at you.
That's funny. Well, I've been like first met in Istanbul in, I think, 2003. I had just moved to Istanbul, and we both ended up covering the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And Ivan, he's an incredible journalist. I mean, he's one of the rare journalists who is on the ground. He has integrity. He's relentless. He's everywhere. He's really passionate, and he's fun. He's serious on the job, and he's fun when he's not working. And he's a good friend and someone that I think, for me, we've been in Istanbul. We were neighbors, and we both lived there for many, many years, and also shared many professional experiences together. So it's a rare relationship of someone that where I was with him both professionally and personally for so many years. He's like family to me.
You traveled so many places where you saw just a plethora of sadness and injustice. You mentioned Darfur there. You've been to Pakistan and Afghanistan and Libya, where you had some hair-raising experiences. Did you ever find it too discouraging to see how the world can be in these various locations? Or was it? Did you feel it was important to be there despite the overwhelming sadness and injustice?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it is overwhelming to see such devastating scenes over and over again, especially over the years. But at the same time, I think it only encourages me to want to be there more, because I think if there's anything I can do to change this situation, if there's anything I can do to bring justice to this situation, or to bring help or aid or whatever it is, I think the importance of awareness, it's to me the driving force. So while it is emotionally taxing, I also think it's important to be there. And I also think I realize the great privilege I have and have had throughout my life to have been born in Connecticut and have been raised by a very loving family and given shelter and food and education and all the choices I ever wanted in my own life. So I think it puts my own life in perspective. The other thing that's really important to realize is that many of the people that I've met in these places of hardship are incredibly resilient and wonderful and generous. And so that also brings, to me, it just is, it's incredible. I mean, it brings a sense of awe to me that these people, when faced with the most devastating situations, are still smiling or still generous and opening their homes to someone like me, who's a complete stranger.
Before we go, I want to ask how challenging it was to write this book. You said you wanted to write, but you're so used to telling your stories through pictures. How was it balancing creating the text that went along with your book, It's What I Do, and also picking those pictures out, those few pictures that you could include in the book? How difficult or fun was that?
Well, it was an interesting process because, of course, I am a photographer. I had kept journals over the years, and I went back to a lot of my correspondence and emails and in handwritten letters, and really started there. I started sort of jogging my memory and rereading things to put myself back in that time. I also looked at old photos. I looked at not only the edited photos that I selected, but the entire take. So I could actually look at how I was thinking and how I approached things over time through my lens. And that really helped in terms of recreating scenes for me. And then the process of writing was actually a pleasure, because I'm not a writer by trade, so I don't bring the same pressure that I bring to myself when I'm photographing. When I'm photographing, I'm sort of tormented, you know? I think, oh my God, I'm not going to get this picture. The light's not right. The composition's bad. I failed. Whereas with writing, I don't have any of that because I'm not a writer. And so for me, it was really about sitting down and telling the story as if I were talking about it. And that's what I did. And in the end, I hired Susie Hansen, who was a friend of mine, to help me edit. And that's how it worked. And it was really actually quite fun.
It's What I Do, A Photographer's Life of Love and War. Lindsay Addario is the author and the photographer. You can learn more about her and the book at WVXU.org. Lindsay, thanks for the stories and the pictures, and thanks for being on the book club at 91.7.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Technical director is Bruce Ellis. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Rick Andrus is music director and segment engineer. Jim Noland is web guru. Robin Carey Allgaier is the announcer. And I'm Mark Purcell. Next Saturday on the Book Club at 91.7, local author Matthew Patrick discusses his first novel, an alternative history tale called Downing Dora 9. Plus, Christopher Scotton in the studio with The Secret Wisdom of the Earth, and Fresh Air book critic Maureen Corrigan with So We Read On, How the Great Gatsby Came to Be and Why It Endures. She's coming to town as part of this year's On the Same Page community-wide reading project. Thanks again for listening to the Book Club at 91.7, and stay tuned for Weekend Edition next on 91.7 WVXU.